Okay, I think I got it going again. Okay, we had just entered.
Just got in the Army the second time.
Where are you stationed?
I joined purposely to go to Hawaii. I always wanted to go to the Hawaiian Islands, and I didn't figure I was going to ever be able to do it unless the government sent me there. So I joined the Army to go to Hawaii in 1939.
What base were you stationed at?
Schofield Barracks.
I see. I'd like to start working on Pearl Harbor itself. Now, could you describe what you saw during the Pearl Harbor attack?
I sure can. I can tell you a good history of it. From an eye view, not from reading it. I was there, as the saying goes. This was, of course, it's a shock and a surprise to everybody all over the world, I think, more especially to us over there. The people that was there, they realized that the situation was getting serious. But we weren't really expecting an attack there. In other words, the thinking was there that if they hit first, they'd hit the Philippines or somewhere like that before they would reach over to Pearl Harbor to start off with. And actually, we was over there on alert, but with no ammunition. Now, this is one thing that I'm going to preach to the long as I can talk, and whoever likes it can like it, and who don't, you just have to love it. But now, when you call a bunch of troops on a foreign station like that on alert and keep the ammunition locked up in the ammunition dumps, and this is what actually happened over there, and this is a true story, not just something that come out in papers. We was running around over there being bombed and strafed by machine gun fire from planes with empty guns. And you just can't fight back very good with no ammunition. I can tell you that for sure. And this is what happened. Now, the Navy and some of the places did have a little ammunition. But the Navy was so bottled up in Pearl Harbor down there till they couldn't do very much. And it hit so sudden until they didn't get a chance to fight back much. And as far as the Army and the Air Force over there, the Air Force had their planes stacked in hangars where one bomb hit, wiped them out. Wheeler Field was wiped out. Hickam Field was wiped out.
All because of the same thing, all the planes being lined up.
Planes was stacked up in there. They weren't even prepared for an emergency attack or anything like that. They were stacked in hangars where there was a perfect target. Mm-hmm. All I had to do is hit one bomb, and it just wiped out the whole hangar. And like I say, Wheeler Field, I was stationed right next to Wheeler Field, and it just wiped that place out clean. And so did Hickam Field, which I saw later what had happened there. Mm-hmm. And all they had to do was just fly over and drop their bombs, and they couldn't miss. Mm-hmm. They just set fire to the place, and they wiped out the main airfields. They crippled the Navy over there in Pearl Harbor, where it was ineffective and couldn't do anything.
Why had they locked up the ammunition depots?
That's a question that I don't think nobody will ever answer. But I say, and I don't care whose toes I step on, it was a very, very stupid, dumb trick to have us over there on the alert and no ammunition. And I've argued that since then. And I sure wish I'd had old Blood and Guts Patton along with me over there. Because right then is when a man like him was needed. Because you just simply cannot fight back with empty weapons.
Well, what was the reaction of your counterparts around you after the attack was over?
They were scared to death and didn't know what to expect next. And there was rumors going there. Now, you would think it was bad while the bombs were being dropped. And in our particular area, we was being strafed. The planes were coming over strafing with the machine gun. They dropped the bombs on the main targets and then strafing where we were. That kept us inside the barracks, kept us from getting into any activity. But the worst time, I think, after it all happened, because people were so frightened, and you'd be surprised at how rumors can get going after something like that happens, and they didn't know what to happen next. Mm-hmm. And it was just through that night, it was ridiculous. So I'll just give you an idea. One guy on guard duty, he shot a bunch of polo horses.
Hmm.
They, you know, just some little something moving that way. Of course, we got ammunition, of course, after the attack was over with. Then they issued us ammunition after the attack was over with. And I believe you mean when they give that bunch of people scared to death ammunition and they loaded up them guns, then it was dangerous. Because
mm-hmm.
people, they didn't ask questions. They'd start shooting if something happened. And like I say, I know this one instance is there where this guy emptied his gun and what fine polo horses. They started making a noise and he just opened up. And, you know, people with their nerves were just shot on edge. And they grabbed that gun and started shooting at this little thing. And I would say, really, it sounded like it was more dangerous that night than it was while the attack was going on, because everybody had ammunition then, and they were ready to shoot and ask questions later.
Well, what did you do after Pearl Harbor?
Well, after Pearl Harbor, our first thing then, with our mission there and the outfit that I was in, we'd start blacking out all the buildings. So blacking out, I mean, they had to cover all the windows and everything. Where absolutely, when dark come, there was no lights could be shown, because we was expecting some more attacks to follow and maybe an invasion, because their first attack was so successful. We was figuring that certainly there'd be some follow up there. And we blacked out all the buildings where we had to operate with lights. We had it blacked out, so that it'd be sure that a plane come over, he couldn't see the lights, couldn't spot anything. And our activity then was just, we just couldn't do very much until they started sending in reinforcements, started sending in equipment to fight with over there. And we were just more or less like a bunch of set ducks there.
When did you leave Pearl Harbor?
1943.
And where did you go?
I come back to the States and joined up with the Third Army, with old Blood Guts Patton's Army, and went to Europe.
I see. You went to Europe. What battles did you see, or what part of the European theater did you go in on?
Well, I was with the Third Army. Every place there was any activity in the Third Army, starting at, I believe it was Normandy Beach, and you'd have to follow the course. The Third Army took two. Split up, went two directions. And ours followed the course. We ended up in Austria, but we went all the way across Europe. And we were in all the major battles of Europe. The outfit that I was in was involved in just about all the activity. Now, that covers a lot of ground, and it might sound like we was fighting a war single-handed over there, but they kind of set up. And I never have known how to explain it, only I told people that it seemed like our mission was to go out and hunt trouble and then hope we could live long enough to get back and report it. And we run all over the place. We weren't division troops. We were corps, a corps unit that operated in the 20th Corps with the 3rd Army. And we was running all over that country over there. And now, a lot of people probably think that there was a lot of hot air published about the 3rd Army and Blood Guts Patton, but a lot of it is for real. Of course, there's bound to have been some exaggeration. Now, I believe you mean that 3rd Army was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a lot of damage over there, and they do a lot of credit for what happened over there. And I've told people, and I'll tell it as long as I live, that if you're going to fight a war, a man like General Patton is the kind of man to have.
Mm-hmm.
His motto was, you don't fight to lose. Them losers, they bury them. You go in there and fight to win, and win any way you can. Just his instructions was, you go over there and you kill them damn Germans before they have a chance to kill you. And he says, how you kill them, I don't care. He says, if you shoot them in the back, belly, or what, he says, you just kill them SOBs before they have a chance to kill you. He said, now, if anybody knows a decent way of killing another man, well, I'd like to know it. I don't know of any decent way you can kill people. But he says, you go in over there to kill them people before they kill you. And he says that we're not going over there to lose. We're going over there to win. And that was strictly his motto, is you going in there to win. And, of course, we did. It looked like, well, of course, they was, like he said, there was a lot of losers because they got buried. In fact, the outfit that I was in had 70-something% casualties. I don't mean that 70-something% was killed, but killed and wounded together was 70-something% of the company. But they was.
I'd like to move on to the near the end of the war. Where were you when the first atomic bomb was dropped on Pearl Harbor? I mean, not Pearl Harbor, on Hiroshima.
Hiroshima. I was a civilian then. I'd already gone through Europe and got discharged on the point system. When the first atomic bomb hit, I was already a civilian. I was discharged back in the States and when that happened.
What was going through your mind when you first heard about it?
That atomic bomb?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was sorry to hear it happened, but I figured at that it might save a lot of lives by ending the war in Japan. But what I was sorry about was to think that that kind of weapon had been discovered and had been perfected. And people are still walking around with the jitters about that till yet, that atomic and nuclear warfare. Now, I've had training. I've got diplomas in there through this reserve unit that I went in. And I've had training on this atomic and nuclear warfare. And the last training I had was 1966. And believe you me, as of then, and I think still as of now, there ain't no defense for that. All you better do is just hope and pray that no atomic or nuclear war develops, because I don't think, and at that particular time I knew there was no defense. You just hope for the best. Just hope it didn't come close to you. It's about the main thing. If you could just be lucky enough to be far enough away where it didn't affect you. But I don't know what they consider now, that with an all-out atomic war, there wouldn't be too many survivors. It would just be total destruction.
I expect it would. Going back to the Germany side, just after the war, Germany was split in two, East Germany and West Germany. Now, they did the same thing just after World War One. They split it up into several countries, and Hitler came along and reunited them and wanted to get kind of his own revenge. Yet they did it again after World War Two. How did you feel about that, even though it had failed the first time?
I feel like they made some stupid moves there in that last. Now, that splitting up Germany, to begin with, I don't understand too much about that. But it sounds like a foolish thing, and the most foolish thing of all of it is, and I don't know how to explain this, but the way they divided up the occupation over there, the United States sat right there at the table with the Russians and the English and all of them, and let them split that thing up, where the United States territory was hemmed in and they had no outlet all any time the Russians wanted to close off the entrances, and they did. And
that was talking about Berlin, right?
No, I'm talking about that airlift when they had the United States occupation area. The only way they had surviving was for the United States to fly supplies in there to these people. Now, for them to sit down there and let that area be divided up, to where they would be hemmed in there like that, I would think any idiot walking the street would know better than to allow that to happen. Now, that is downright ridiculous to allow. And at that particular time, the United States didn't have no love for Russia. Russia didn't have no love for the United States. It was just they were just convenient to be our allies during World War II. Russia and the United States didn't have any use for each other. They hadn't had any used for each other throughout years. Their type of government, our type of government, is as far apart as day and daylight and dark. And they sat down there, and I don't know how to explain that, but anyway, like I say, they allowed that territory to be divided up to where the United States was hemmed in there. And any time the Russians wanted to block the entrances, and they did, and that's what caused that
Berlin
airlift. And they had to, that was the only way they had to get supplies in there to the area that the United States occupied. And I said, Lordy, if anybody would allow that to happen. At the end of World War II, the United States could have dictated to Russia anything they wanted. Russia was whipped. And the Russian people, the only reason that they didn't have to surrender or get completely occupied by Germany was the United States started furnishing them with supplies. The American supplies is what saved Russia's hide. At the end of World War II, they could have took, could have done whatever they wanted to with Russia. They was helpless. Just like old Blood and Guts Patton there again. I might bring his name in it. He wanted to go on. He said, we're going to have to fight them sometime or other anyway, and better do it now. And that man would have been strongly opposed to allowing Russia to get to the point they're in today. Now, this may sound like a dictatorship or something, but I think it's foolish that the rest of the world has let Russia get to the point that they've got in arm in this arms race. Now, that could have been stopped. It's easier to stop something like that before it gets going than it is after it gets going. That's the same way when Germany. Nobody would have believed Germany could have built up the war machine. And, of course, Hitler's dream was to capture the world. And he come a lot near doing it, and most people will admit that he did.
Yeah.
He if they would have got that atomic bomb before we did, if you watch out, there'd have been a sad ending to that story. Because that man was a maniac. He wouldn't have cared where he threw that thing. Now, how many? And I'm sure that the situation would have been different if they had got that thing. And they were developing it. The only thing that kept it from was the Air Force keeping them bombed out over there to where they weren't able. Their factories kept getting bombed out. And that's the only thing that stopped the Germans from ever developing that thing. Because they, I'm sure that they had that thing well on the way, because when you get right down to it, it was German people that done a lot of the developing it for the United States. German scientists had a lot to do with what we've, our atomic nuclear warfare that we have now.
Okay. Well, that's about all I have. Thank you for letting me ask you these questions.
Well, I hope it'll be some good to you.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
And I hope I could give a lot of opinions and everything that I would hope that would put some thoughts in people's head for years to come, that they wouldn't allow such things as this to happen again. I belong to this Pearl Harbor Survivors Association. We have several meetings a year, and we are there, and we are advocating and trying to alert people to never allow something like that to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, Americans are the worst people in the world to get, you know, when everything gets going good, they get like we're just a natural born, easy going type of people.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we don't like this, we don't like to be warm. Well, we're not warmongers by nature, and we don't like to, people would strictly be opposed to, you know, just like, for instance, if they were all the youngsters growing up now, if they had to get out here and go to defense training and all like that. They wouldn't want that. They don't like that kind of thing. But in the meantime, they better never let another Pearl Harbor situation come about, because if they did, they might not survive the next one, because it might not be just conventional bombs and machine guns straight, but they might throw some of that atomic or nuclear bombs around. And if they do that, well, like I say,
can be about it.
I don't think there's any defense for it yet. I just don't know. You was in there after that. Did you ever learn of any defense for it?
Not really.
Is this machine turned on?
Oh, it's okay. I'm pretty much. I'm just kidding.